Over the summer, we've got different speakers, various different people speaking because of the different format, and we've asked people to speak on a chosen passage. Now, that might be a favorite passage for people. It might be the passage they really want to speak on, something that's really dear to them, or it may be something that God is speaking to them about at the moment. And today, the speaker is me. It's me. Okay. And I want to speak about a verse here which is extremely, has a strong connection with Liberty Church. And we're going to look at, it's Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church in Corinth. And it's chapter 3. And in this letter, Paul is talking about the new covenant in Christ and what Christ has actually done for us. And comparing it to what has gone before. And I want to pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 3. It's actually, it should be on the screen, so I'm going to read it from the screen. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read," that's when the law, when the Old Testament is read, "a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." There we are. Can anybody guess which verse in particular we're going to focus on this morning? Verse 17, you're quite correct. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." It's a verse which is key in to Liberty Church. And although it wasn't on the old logo, George, there's a logo up there which George provided me with. Actually, that's the old logo of Liberty Church, and it had a strap line on some of the things that we used that had that very verse, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom," or "there is liberty." Liberty Church, there would be a place of freedom. And we used to sing a song, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Remember that one? We sang it to death. It's still a great song. It's still a great song. And it had a line on it, something that, "We will live in your freedom, live in your liberty. We will dance in your freedom, dance in your liberty." And every time we sang that, nobody danced. Because we're Liberty Church. Everybody stood stock still. But inside we were dancing. Is that right? "We are free not to dance." Yes. We could choose to dance whether we wanted to or not. We're going to look at this verse this morning. I want to ask two specific questions, though, from this verse. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Two questions that arise from that. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? If there is freedom wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, where is the Spirit of the Lord? And what is this freedom? What is the liberty that Paul talks about here? So two clear questions. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? What is freedom? And what is liberty? Let's start with the first one. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Now, let's be clear from the very start. When we're talking about the Spirit, it says the Lord is the Spirit. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. So when we talk about the Spirit of God, just for clarity, because even as Christians, as we walk with God, and even though we know this, sometimes we get a little bit confused in our minds, and we tend to think of the Spirit a bit Star Wars-ish, like the Force. May the Force be with you. This anonymous force, this energy, this weird spiritual mist that hangs over us. When we talk about the Spirit of God, that is not the Spirit. The Spirit is a person. We can't see them. But the Spirit is a person. Not just a person, but the third person of the Trinity. The Spirit is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need to be clear about that. I think it's worth just reminding ourselves of who the Holy Spirit is. A person who works in our lives. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Well, in order to answer that question, I want to go right back to the very, very beginning. It's a very good place to start. In Genesis chapter 1, the first mention of the Spirit of God. It says right at the beginning of this book, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So right at the very start, we see God there, the Spirit, hovering or brooding over the waters. It's like active in creation. The Spirit of God there right at the start. And then as we go through the Old Testament, we see evidence of the Spirit coming on people and in people for various things, just for various tasks or for things that they were doing, for anointing them. We read that Joshua, who led the people into the promised land, he said, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the Spirit of wisdom because Moses laid his hands on him. And he led the people into the promised land, filled with the Spirit. In the book of Judges, we see Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And he brought the people of God together to fight and defeat the Midianites. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power to defeat the Philistines. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power to lead the people of God and to build the kingdom of Israel. And right on through the Old Testament, again and again, we see the Spirit of God at work in individuals and people's lives. And then we come to the New Testament. And right at the beginning of the New Testament, and in fact, Luke's gospel, we have the angel appearing to Mary. Says, you're going to give birth to a son. She said, I'm a virgin. He said, well, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Lord will overshadow you. And so we see the Holy Spirit right there at the beginning of the gospel, working in Mary, with Mary. Where is the Spirit of the God, where the Spirit of the Lord? With Mary. And then Jesus grows up and he's baptized by John the Baptist. And as he comes out of the water, with his Spirit descended on him like a dove, like the one on our old logo there. Spirit descended on him like a dove. And he then started his ministry with new power and anointing as the Spirit guided him first into the wilderness and then on the road to Jerusalem. The Spirit was there. Where is the Spirit of God in Jesus? But it's not until the book of Acts, the follow-on, the sequel to Luke, the story of the early church, that something really changes. At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus says to them, to the disciples, we read it last week in Luke chapter 24. He said to them, stay in the city, stay in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then at the beginning of Acts, in chapter 1, Jesus says, just before he ascends, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's exactly what happens. In Acts chapter 2, the church is born. At Pentecost, Spirit descends like tongues of fire and rests on the disciples as they wait there. They speak in different tongues and the church just explodes into life. God was doing something new. And ever since that time, the church, God's church, has been marked by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. If there is no presence of the Spirit, then it ain't church. If God is not there by his Spirit, then this is not church. And Paul says the Spirit of God dwells in his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16, one of the great 3:16s of the Bible. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? And so we can say with confidence in answer to that question this morning, where is the Spirit of God? Right here. Right here among us this morning. Spirit, the person, the third person of God, the presence of God is here right now. Now, you may not see the Spirit of God. You may not even feel the Spirit of God. But let me assure you, the Spirit of God is here amongst us. But the Spirit goes beyond just dwelling among us. Because Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And then in Ephesians, he says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So it goes from just beyond being among us, but to indwelling us. The Holy Spirit is in us. As believers, we can say with confidence, where is the Spirit of God? In us. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Where is the Spirit of God? Here, right here, amongst us and in us. The Spirit is here. We can say that with absolute confidence. regardless of how we feel, regardless of any sensations, regardless of any tangible sense of the Spirit, the truth is the Spirit of God is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what is this freedom? Freedom is an amazing thing. Freedom speaks of release from captivity, from prison, from slavery, from oppression, from injustice, from pain, from debt, from fear. Freedom speaks of being released from something that holds us back. Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 4, when he stands up in the synagogue and he quotes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And then he goes on, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Or in the New Living Translation, "release for the captives," to release people from something that's holding them back. Freedom is a wonderful thing. We should never take freedom for granted. People fight and die for freedom. The Braveheart spirit, the word that is synonymous with that film, the freedom being released from oppression. World wars that have been fought so that people would retain or hold on to the freedom that they had. And it goes on and on. It is worth living and dying for. And if you've ever been released in your life, and I'm sure we've all experienced it, from something that's holding you back, you will know the joy of freedom, of liberty. Maybe, you know, you're in a place where you've been in debt. And watching a CAP video this week, and you know that when somebody goes debt-free with CAP, the CAP office, the workers phone up the person and say, "You are now debt-free." And at that point, the whole of the head office down in Bradford play harmonicas and cheer. It's amazing. I've been there once, I think, when that happened. But the sense, if you've ever been in that place, maybe where you've debt has been bringing you down, you've been held by debt, and it's a horrible thing. And suddenly you get to the point where you say, "I am no longer in debt." What a release that is. What a release to be freed from the oppression of debt and all that that brings. Or it could be poverty, or hopelessness, or pain. If you've been in pain and suddenly the pain's no longer there, you feel, "Oh, it's gone." Maybe you didn't even realize how oppressive it was until it's no longer there anymore. But what freedom is Paul referring to here? He's talking about a new covenant in Christ, something new that Christ has done. He's talking about a veil that separated men from God, a veil of sin, a veil that's through religion, that's only taken away in Christ. He's talking about the freedom that was paid for at the cross, ultimate freedom. As Paul writes again in Romans chapter 8, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." We're talking about freedom from the power of sin and death in our lives. We're talking about the sin that keeps us and separates us from God. It is ultimate freedom, and it is only through Christ. And along with that comes the freedom from guilt and fear over our sin and approaching God. All our sins are forgiven at the cross, paid for. And as Paul started off in verse 12 of the chapter we read, he says, we are very bold. We can approach God with boldness because of freedom that we has given to sin. But it's not just what we are set free from. It's what we are set free to. And that's equally important. George will speak about in our Into Liberty course another time. You maybe heard George say this before. True freedom is not the right to do what you like, but the power to do what you ought. True freedom is not the right to do what you like, but the power to do what you ought. Let me give you an example of that. Let's go back to debt. You've been in debt. And you get to the point where there is no longer any debt. Suddenly, you're in the black. You're no longer in the red. Suddenly, you've got resources. Freedom might say, I can do anything I want. Freedom might say, I'm free from debt. I can go and spend again. I can go and buy stuff and get the credit cards and do all that. I'm free to do all that. That's what I want to do. And very soon, you'll find yourself back in a place of debt and captivity. But freedom at that point is say, I have the power now to live well, to make good choices, to stay in this place. I have been set free and I'm not going back there. It's the power to do what you ought to do. Set free to be who you were made to be and do what you were made to do. Set free to approach God with boldness. That's what this freedom is that Paul talks about, that we can approach God with a boldness. There is nothing that separates us from God. The veil is removed. Nothing is keeping us from God. In the old covenant, before Jesus came, God dwelt among his people. We talk about the temple of God, the dwelling place of God, or the tent of meeting as they were wandered in the wilderness. It was the place where God was, God's presence was, among the people. But everybody just couldn't go and meet with God. That's not the way it happened. Only once a year, and only for the high priest, could they actually go into what they called the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain, behind the veil, and meet with God. One person, once a year, could meet with God. And when Jesus died on the cross, we are told, as Jesus actually died on the cross, that the veil, the curtain that was in the temple, was torn in two. Not from bottom to top, not like somebody had got the bottom and wrong, but from top to bottom, torn in two and separated. It's like God saying, it's no longer there. The barrier's gone. You are free to come into my presence because of that, because of what my son has done on the cross for you. That is freedom. We sing, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. That's what we're talking about. The veil that holds us back from God has been torn in two. This is true freedom. It's greater than any other freedom. And it is for now and it is forever. And whenever we know this freedom, when we walk with God, it opens the door to other areas of freedom. Freedom from debt, freedom from poverty, freedom from violence and oppression and injustice and sickness and fear and slavery of any kind. You know, a mark of the kingdom of God. We talk about the kingdom of God, which is the rule and reign of God. Where God rules and reigns, a mark of that kingdom is freedom. It's freedom from sin, and it's freedom from everything that sin brings. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Right here among us, living in us as believers. And if that is true, then freedom is right here for every one of us. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we are free. Just say, I am free. I am free. And you might say, but how come I don't feel free? You know, sometimes I just feel racked with guilt, and sin still seems to have quite a hold on my life. And I'm fearful sometimes even coming before God because of that sin. Well, we live in a place where there is an enemy who's at work, who doesn't want us to walk boldly into the presence of God, who will tempt us to sin. Go on, you can do that. It's all right. Okay. And then we do it, and we fall into sin. And then he's right there saying, oh, you're worthless. Fancy doing that. God's not going to love you now. You ever feel like that? Ever feel that sense of, oh, some condemning voice that said, you've separated yourself from God. I want to say this morning, when Jesus died on the cross and the veil was torn, it was done once for all. It's done. It is dealt with. It is finished, as he said. Whatever our sin, whatever we have done, whatever we are going to do is covered by the blood of Jesus. We are free. We are always free. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, he said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to the way you were, but live as free people. Live in the freedom that Christ paid for at the cross. And so often what holds us back is our own minds, is the guilt and fear that comes with us. Yeah. But the truth is, God has set us free. If you are a believer this morning, if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ, say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I want to follow him. You have the Spirit of God in you, whether you feel it or not this morning. And because of that, you are set free, free from the power of sin and death, set free from guilt and condemnation, free to approach God with boldness. Your sin is dealt with once and for all at the cross. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a believer, If you're not sure about this and you're thinking things through, I'm going to say to you this morning, as I've said before, you're not here by accident. I don't believe anybody is here by accident, even in this meeting. That God's Spirit is at work in your life. You are loved by Almighty God. And he invites you to believe him today and to put your trust in him. To be born again of the Spirit of God. To be set free from the power of sin. Now, here, today, and forever. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Och, let's do the whole Mel Gibson thing, shall we? Shall we do it? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom! Shout it to yourself. Believe it, that you are set free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and the Spirit of the Lord is here. Liberty Church is increasingly becoming a place of freedom. As we press into Liberty Center, to the building, that I believe, you know, as I walk around it and I see it and I talk to people about it, this is what we're going to do. And I've got contractors coming in. I met with two or three people this week, people doing lighting and ventilation and other things. And they're saying, what are you doing? And I'm saying, this area is going to be the area where we have this going on and this going on. This is the area we're going to worship. This is the area where we're going to meet with people. This is the area where the community are going to be drawn in. And I'm thinking, freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from death. Freedom to walk into the presence of God, to approach God. Freedom from debt and addiction and pain and fear and loneliness and despair. Freedom for us and freedom for those around about us. I want it to be a place of freedom. The more we surrender to the Holy Spirit in our own lives, working in our lives, the more we will be, as Paul writes at the end of them, in verse 18, I think, transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The more we will experience freedom in our own lives, and the more we will see it released in the lives of others. Amen? Amen. We're not only pressing into a building, we are pressing into God. And that means giving ourselves to God. The more we press in, the more we're saying, I want what you are, God. I want what you have for me. I give my life for you to be changed and transformed. I want to see and experience and bring that freedom as the Spirit of God works through me. So, we're going to do that this morning. We've got a few minutes. I'm going to just take a moment to process and allow the Holy Spirit, who is here, just to speak to us, to do what he wants to do. You can sit there as you are. If you want to put your hands out in the hand dryer position, it's the old hand dryer. This is the new one. That doesn't work, the old hand dryer position, okay? Hands out, palms up, and just let God. It's just a sign of openness before God. If that helps you and you feel, just to receive God. And invite the Holy Spirit to come. I want to reiterate what Fiona said right at the start of the meeting. This is a safe place. When God is here, it is safe. It may not be what we expect. It may not be what we've seen or experienced before. But it is safe. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here amongst us, your people. The presence of God, Emmanuel, God is with us. The same Spirit that descended on Jesus at his baptism, the same Spirit that descended at Pentecost on those first disciples, tongues of fire, and rested on them. same Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, would you come and move amongst us right now? And we declare that we are free. Declare your freedom this morning in this place. Because we can say with confidence that you are here, God, Holy Spirit, you are here in us and amongst us. We can declare with confidence that freedom is here too. That we are set free. You are set free. Free to approach our God with boldness, to come into the presence of God and know Him. So I want to speak freedom over our lives this morning, God. For every single person here, the things in our lives which hold us back, things which are very tangible sometimes, things which are less tangible, things we understand, things which completely confuse us. Anything, God, that holds us back from you. And speak freedom, release, in the name of Jesus. Over this church, over this gathering, over this family. We read that in the book of Acts, and we see it, and our experience for many of us is that it's not just a presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us and on us, but there's a sense that God will come in power, and God himself, Jesus himself said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And there's a sense of more that is available for us. A filling of the Spirit. Not just an indwelling of the Spirit. Sometimes when you first came to Christ, there was a powerful sense of the presence of God with you, and you could say, I was filled with the Spirit, and I knew it then. And there may have been times in your life since then that you've been filled with the Spirit, and it's affected you in certain ways. I want to ask for more this morning. Knowing that as believers that we are filled, that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God, it doesn't stop us asking for more of God. More of his Holy Spirit, more of his power, more of his anointing, more the freedom that is granted us would be manifest in our lives, and we would see it and understand it and walk in it. So I'm going to call the band out to play, minus the worship leader who's going to stand here for a moment. We're just going to play. I want to invite you. I think what we're going to do is, if you want to respond to that, I was going to invite people down to the front, but I don't think we need to do that. I think we're going to invite you in your seats. If you're in a place where you're thinking, I just want more of you, God, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, maybe you're just asking for more of God, more of his Spirit, then I want to invite you to stand, simply to stand and to receive from God and to believe. And I just want to speak the Holy Spirit over our lives, speak more of God into our lives. So, should we just play away? We'll do the Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, and we'll play, and then there is just, let's just invite God to come. So if that's you, and you want more of God, stand up. No pressure. You may think, I'm not ready for this, but if you are, okay.